All right, so I wanted to see if we could analyze, with regard to Hanukkah, see if we could analyze something about the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's tangentially related to Hanukkah, so, you know, it's a little bit Menyan of the Yoma. Let's see if we could understand something over here. I mean, one of these, at the core, the basic core of this idea is really a fundamental. Touches upon a yisod. So, but let's see if we could if we could understand what's going on with the menorah. So we take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Per Gimel Halachos Aleph through Gimel. The Rambam starts off by saying that I'll just go through it. We'll get the facts, and then we'll ask some questions, see if we could do if we could analyze it. Menorah mefureshes tzurasa b'Torah. So the menorah, the image of the menorah, the form of the menorah is explained openly in the Torah. It's explained openly in the Torah. The arba gvim u'shnei kaftorim u'shnei prachim hayu b'knei ha-menorah. There were four cups and two flowers. I'm sorry, there were four cups and two knobs and two flowers in the center shaft of the menorah, the center shaft of the menorah. Okay? Shenemar uva menorah arba'a gvim mishukadim kaftorel fracha. Okay. The od perach shlishi haya samach lirecha shel menorah. There was, in addition to that, there was a third flower next to the base of the menorah. In other words, right above the base of the menorah. Shenemar ad yirecha ad pircha. The gomer. Okay. The shalosh reglayim hayula, and there were three feet to the menorah, which was the bottom of the base. Okay, and that's really the end of halacha aleph. Okay, then you have like this: ushlosha kaftorim acheros hayu b'knei menorah. There were three additional knobs. Three other ones in the center shaft. Shemehen yotzin sheishes hakanim. That from those three shafts, those three knobs would go out. The would emerge the six branches of the menorah. Shlosha mitzadzeh, shlosha mitzadzeh. Okay. V'chol kanim v'kanim mehen. Shlosha gvim v'kaftor v'ferach. Every one of those branches would have three gvim. Every one of the branches of the six branches had three cups, one kaftor v'ferach, one knob and one flower. V'akol mishukadim, and all of it was almondized. What does that mean? Kimo shkedim shkedim bas yosin. It was made like almonds. Now you know you've all seen almonds. I mean. They're like little, they have like little grooves on the sides, like little wrinkly grooves, right? So that's the, all these things, the gvim, the kaftorim, and the prachim had these, the wrinkled grooves. Okay? That's halacha base. Halacha gimel. Nimtzu, ta gvim, shnayim v'esrim. So if you count it all up, you'll wind up now, you'll see that there are 22 gvim, okay? Because you had four on the center shaft. And then you had three each on six, so that's 18, right? So 18 and 4, 22, good, that works out. Now, prachim tisha, so you had, the flowers were 9. Why? Because you had one each on the tops of the 7, right? So that's 7. Then you had one in the center shaft, and you had one at the bottom near the base. So 7 plus 1 plus 1 is 9. Good. And there were 11 knobs. okay, because you had one on each of the seven, and then you had three from which the branches of the menorah emerged, so that's 7 plus 3 is 10, and then you had one in the middle of the center shaft, that's 11. Good, so it all works out. The chulin ma'akven zezeh, you need them all, okay, that is, so each one, everything is ma'akev everything else. Afilu echad min ha'shnayim v'arbayim ma'akev is kulon. One thing out of these 42 things, right? If you add up all the numbers, the gvir, kaftar, and prachim, so one thing's missing, the whole thing is psula. Okay. All right. So we'll start off like this. I mean, the implication from the beginning of the Rambam, the beginning of the Perek, that the tsuras mifureshes batorah, it would seem to be, the Rambam is saying that this is the menorah. This is the form of the menorah, right? I mean, that's what he's saying. This is the form of the menorah. And you see, if one thing's missing, so it's marking the whole thing. These halachas, the gvim, kaftorim, and prachim, are halachas in the menorah. Okay? And if you don't have it, you don't have a menorah. Okay. But if you go back a little bit to the begin, to Perek Aleph Halacha Yudches, it's very easy to follow. I mean, Perek Aleph Halacha Yudches, you test, the Rambam says it like this: Hamenorah v'cheila, v'ashulchan v'cheilav, umizbacha k'toras v'chol klei hashareis, ein osen osen elamin ha-matechas bilvad. All those kelim, so we only care right now about the menorah. All the kelim, but we're focused on the menorah, has to be made out of metal. Must be made out of metal. V'im asurason shela eight, so etzem o even o shel zchuchis tzulin. If any of these kelim were made out of wood or bone or stone or glass, it would be pasul. Okay, all right. Hayakar aniyim. If the tzibur were basically poor, osnasan afilo shel deal, so they could make it even out of lead. Okay, so it's a metal. I mean, the cheapest metal. V'im hashiru, they become richer, osn osn shel zav. So then, of course, you make it out of gold. Okay? Now, keep that fact in your mind for a second. Okay? Then come back to our halacha over here, our perek in halacha Dalit. So the Rambam says, v'med v'amamurim, when is it true that everything that I told you up until now, when is that true? B'sha'asu azav. So when it's made out of gold, then everything that I said is true. If the menorah was made out of any other metal, let's say silver, okay, just by way of example to keep it consistent, so if the menorah is made out of silver, so then, ein osin ba gvim kaftorin prachim. You do not have the gvim kaftorin prachim. All you would have, basically, is the seven-branched candelabrum, okay? All right. That's okay, fine. V'chein menorah ha'ba zav tia kula kikar in erosah. If it's made out of gold, then it must be a kikar worth of zav. Kikar is a weight measure. Okay, it's a weight measure. So if it's made out of gold, it has to be kikar, including the neros. Okay, the neros means. That the Rosh Hashanah didn't really talk about that. The neros is the cups that hold the oil that are on top of the on top of the prachim.
It's not the gvim.
Okay. No. The gvim is a design in the menorah. That's solid. They're not hollow. This is the cups that hold the. These are the cups that hold the oil. Okay. They're big. Okay. So including them. So that's a kikar. The tia kula miksha min hashasos. It has to be. If it's made out of gold, it has to be banged out one solid piece. Okay? Yes. Okay? It has to be banged out one solid piece. V'shelashar minei matchos. But if it's made out of silver, ein makpidin al mishkala. We don't care about its weight. V'im hayasach aluak sheir. And if it was hollow, that means not banged out of one solid piece, but rather it was fashioned. So then it would be fine. It'd be okay. All right? Okay, so what do you see from this halacha? What do you see from this halacha? It's an amazing, amazing halacha. What do you see from this halacha? So you see that gvim, kaftorim, and prachim is not a din in menorah, per se. But rather, it's a din in zav. Right? So it's an amazing thing. If it's made out of gold, so then if you don't have one of the, if you don't have one of the things, it's the entire menorah is psula. Why? I'm sorry, before the why. But if it's made out of silver, not only do you not need it, but according to it looks like the Rambam is saying you shouldn't have it. Right? Einos nos gvi'im, right? So it's so gvi'im kaftar and prach is not a halacha in menorah. You see, you could have a totally functional, 100% kosher menorah without any gvi'im kaftar and prach. You see? But if it's made out of gold, then you have to have every single last detail. So you see that gvi'im kaftar and prach is a halacha in Zav, not a halacha in menorah per se. Is that clear? Just a logical dichotomy. Okay, is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
One.
It is.
Okay, so it's not
talking
about the
game.
So it's not talking about the game. Now it's the flame.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not that it's roughly the shape of the seven branches.
And on the contrary.
On the seven branches, you have these things that are built into the menorah.
Right. When he said the shape of the branch is the one thing that's not mefurish b'Torah, which you have a machlokas about amongst the Rishonim. But no, he means more than the gvim kaftar. You know, he means basically like this. He means one center branch, six things coming out of it. Gvim kaftar uprachim. You know, like the yerach haMenorah. That's what he's talking about.
When he says these things were an
right.
It's not that it's sort of like self-explanatory
in
one sense. It's not like the
kind of
menorah that which is
mefurish,
that's, and these
additional. Right. No, this is part of what's
mefurish
in the
Torah. I mean,
it's
yeah.
And
also, will you see that it's
marked as a
menorah?
Just when
it's
marked as
that,
even when
she
tells
you.
Oh no, yeah, no. So it's but if you don't have it, then doesn't he say you don't believe? No, but Yaakov's saying like this. How do you know he doesn't mean kula machnas zezem? Maybe it means that you might as well not have it.
I'm saying, so if it meant that if you lost one, that's machnas the menorah. Would you have said kula machnas zezem? Would you have said like one, machis,
kula chaban machis? Well, I don't
understand
what you mean. It's right for Yaakov. It's not helping me understand what he means. Go ahead.
No, the fact that he says kula machnas zezem.
Yeah.
As was saying the kula chaban machis.
Yes, I'm a knower, you mean. Yeah. All right, I guess you could learn it both ways. Do we see the Gemara? I don't remember either. Okay. Maybe you could learn it both ways. Okay. But the question is, I mean, it's a funny thing. Here's the question. The question is that it seems from the ratio, it seems from the opening of the Perek, I mean, I have a couple of questions over here. It seems from the opening of the Perek, that this is the Tzuras HaMenorah, so that's the menorah. And if you don't have it, you don't have the menorah. But yet, it's clear that if it's silver, for example, so you do. It's like it's a funny type of thing. It's like it's a mixed method. You could work your way through it, because the Torah also says that it's zav, and you see altogether that it doesn't have to be zav. You know, like that's true. I mean, you know, it's I'm saying it's not an insurmountable problem. But there's definitely like a funny type of mixed message over here. It's like the menorah in Mefuresh Tzurasa B'Torah, and it turns out that's not really the Tzurasa menorah per se. That's if it's Zav. But if it's not Zav, it could be something, you know, it's a different Tzura, really. Well, it's a funny type of thing. What's going on over there? Okay? But I have a more basic question, and that is like this. I can understand there are three things where gold will make a difference. The weight, the kikar, miksha, and gvim kaftarim and prachim, right? Mm-hmm. So I could understand kikar. I could understand that because kikar is a weight of metal. So I could understand you telling me that if it's a certain type of metal, then it requires a specific weight because it's a weight of something. It's a weight of metal. I could understand miksha being unique to zav because miksha is, by definition, a production method of metal. So it makes sense.
Right.
I mean, why it should be is a good question. Okay, fine, believe that. But it makes sense to say that miksha is a din in zav. It makes sense to say that kikar is a din in zav.
Miksha can apply to another metal also.
I said that. Why it's only Zav not, that's fine. That's a good question. Okay, fine. Let's leave that. But it makes sense that Mikshas Din in Zav. That makes sense.
Okay.
I don't understand that Gvim Kaftarim and Prachim is a Din in Zav. Because that's not a halacha in the metal. I mean, that's, you know, if you say a weight, so weight is a weight of something. If you say a process of production, the process of production is a process of production of something. But Gvim Kaftarim and Prachim is the design of the thing. So why should it be that Gvim Kaftarim and Prachim is unique to Zav? Is it Din in Zav? It should be really Din in the menorah. Okay? All right.
Is that good?
Yes.
What would you say if, like, you had a very rich ore? Should they make it out of, like, platinum as opposed to gold?
No.
Even though it's a better metal. Gold is the paradigm in oro?
Yeah, it's not a question really of the, it's always a question of the, the worth, you know, like, platinum is worth more because of scarcity. I mean, but it's not, I think there's an objective ideal with regard to Zav. There's an objective ideal with regard to Zav. I mean, it's a good question, but that's my sense is that, you know, Zav means Zav.
I mean, platinum is a better metal, it's a stronger metal,
Well, titanium is even stronger, but it's not Zav. Yeah. You're asking, Moshe says you're asking as a trader, you know, like, I think there's an idea in Zav. You see that the countries use the gold standard. I don't think they kind of came up yet with the platinum standard. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the first sort of group of questions. Okay. Is a din in, why does it make sense a din in Zav? And the din in the Zav, and why is it really only with regard to Zav? Where if it was made out of silver, you see, if you can make the menorah out of silver, so why don't you have the Gvim Kaftarim for silver too? What's the problem? Okay. I mean, they're corollary, they're related questions. And then we have, of course, the question, like I said, that the implication of the Rambam in the beginning is Mifureshes Turasa Batara, that this is really part and parcel of what it means to have a menorah. So why does it differ? Okay. Yeah. Moreover, I'll ask you another question that's related to this, and that is like this. You know, the Gvim, Kaftarim, and Prachim were not the only decorations on the Kalim. There were other decorations on other Kalim in the Mikdash. Okay? So, for example, on the Aron and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach HaZav, you also had decorations. What was it? Zer. Right? You had a crown. So, Zer Zav. So, now we saw that the Shulchan, for example, the Shulchan could be made out of silver, right? There's no halacha that if it's made out of silver, you can dispense with the Zer. You still need the Zer. It's still part of the Tzuras HaShulchan. So why is it, they're all related, all the questions are related. I mean, so why is it with regard to the menorah that the material will make a difference with regard to these decorations, but with regard to the other Kalim, no, it doesn't matter. Made out of silver, made out of lead, you still need a Zer. Over here not, well, what's going on over here? Okay. Yep. Then, of course, you have the basic fundamental question, which is a she'ela, not a kushya, but what are these Gvim, Kaftarim, and Prachim? Like, what is it altogether? It's a funny thing. That's going to be, I think, the most difficult question to answer, but okay. All right. Yeah, you guys with me there on the phone?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, you guys with me over here?
Seven branches of Menorah. That's Tzuras HaMenorah. And then he says, within the entity of Menorah, you have these super added things, which also happen to be in the Torah.
I don't think that's, look, I can't prove to you that you're wrong. I mean, but it's not my sense as to what he's saying. Because you're limiting, as you're saying, that Surah is limited to a very, very small thing. I mean,
the question to me is if we were separate from the Mishnah Torah because...
No.
...to Torah Shvachav, as if we're selected to tell you have the Torah Shvachav, but then these things, even though they happen to be, they're also Pesukim, but it also has a place in the writing
through. Yeah, I don't think that's what he's saying. I mean,
talks about,
like,
at the beginning,
because obviously
he's like the
Dina Bites,
so he doesn't
even address
you, it's like,
Mufurish Lamalat, Mufurish,
you know,
Mechonish,
whatever it is.
Right.
And then generally,
use
the phrase, like, he's saying, this is
Mufurish Lissara. No, but that's the stuff, but I'll say, but then I'll turn the question back on you, so then why does he have to say the Torah also says
these
things are also
Mufurish? There's certain things
in the
Torah which then, once they enter the
Torah
Shaltah, so then
gave new. No, but there's nothing new over here. The only thing new that you could argue, which we'll see later on, is the Meshukat business.
But also the
market
business, the whole...
No, I understand that, but he doesn't have to go into the center for the center thing and the side. That's the first Batara. The that's...
But
that's,
again, so, but the things that
always
there, these things, he's taking these circling things, they now enter into the whole system in a different position, like you think these special things of dinings up or whatever.
I don't, look, I can't, can I prove that you're wrong? I can't prove that. I don't think that's what he's saying. I mean, I don't think that's what he's saying. Okay. All right.
Who is that in support for?
All right. Now, even if Yaakov were right, which I don't think you are, but even if you were, you still get a mixed message from the Pesukim in the Torah. To go on a little bit of an odyssey. Okay, you have to go on a little bit of an odyssey. There's something that I think that as soon as you look at the Pesukim, you should notice. And that is as follows. What is the essence? What is the essence? When you say menorah, what do you mean? That's the first thing, really, that should come to mind. What is it? Well, what is the menorah? So take a look at the. We'll start off with the Rambam, and then I'll go back to the Pesukim. I mean, but take a look at the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, for example. So the Rambam says Shivas Kenei Menorah Me'akin Zezeh. The Shiva Neiroseha Me'akin Zezeh. Then Shahayasa shall zov, then Shahayasa shall shahar, meaning Mathos, the Chonesk from Makanim. Okay. So, yeah. So he says all seven branches are Ma'akev one the other. By the way, see, he doesn't say the Ma'akev the menorah. So, what does that mean? You know, like, I just go back to the point that Daniel made before him. It's, that's why I learned that it means that it's really, it would be Ma'akev if it's zov. It's the same parallel formulation. But anyway, okay, he says over here that all seven are Makiv, one is Makiv, you know, everyone's Makiv every other one. Okay, all right. That implies that if I were to ask you, what's the essence of the menorah vis-a-vis the Kanim? So you tell me all seven Kanim are the menorah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But look at Halacha Aleph, which we did, and the Rambam says, there were four gvim, two kaftarim, and two prachim in zakane of the menorah. What is zakane of the menorah? Right? Well, what's he talking about?
You have hakane?
Bakane. What is it? Okay. What? It's the center. Right? It's the center one. So... So that's the one he's talking about. That's the only one that has 4, 2, and 2. I mean, so the implication from that is that the menorah is the center branch. That's the implication, that the menorah is the center shaft. Okay.
The Torah he referenced.
No, because he says that there are four. I'll make it more basic even than this. But you see, starting off the parrot, there are four gvim, two kaftarim, and two prachim in the branch of the menorah, in the shaft of the menorah. What do you mean, the shaft of the menorah? What are you talking about? Say, the center one, say the, you know, no, in the branch, in the shaft of the menorah. I mean, that's the center one. Okay? I'll make it even more basic, okay? You take a look at Halacha Ches. Okay? Shisha haneros hakvuim b'sheisha sakonim hayotzein min ha-menorah.
Yeah.
I I mean, you can't get more basic than that, right? There's six neurons that are set, that are fixed, in the six branches which emerge from, that go out of the menorah. So what is the menorah? The menorah is the center branch.
Yep.
It's the center shaft, right? Okay. So, and by the way, that Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam didn't make it up. It's based upon Pesukim. I'll read off the sources for you, but it's the same Pasuk. It's in Shmos Chaf Hei, Pesukim Lamed Gimel and Lamed Hei, and Shmos Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yates. In three Pesukim, in three different Pesukim, the Torah uses the language, Hayotze Min HaMenorah, Hayotze Min HaMenorah, Hayotze Min HaMenorah. So Hayotze Min HaMenorah means the menorah is the center of the shaft, and everything else is Hayotze Min HaMenorah. So what's the menorah? The menorah is the center shaft. That's the menorah. Okay? You have it also in Bamidbar, Erechas Pasuk Beis. That where Bahaloscha, right? You have in the lighting of the menorah. So the pasuk says El Mu Penei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shivas HaNeiros. Now what does that mean? El Mu Penei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shivas HaNeiros. What does it mean? So it means like this. You have to have a good image, you know, like of the menorah. The Neiros, again, Ne'er in halachic terminology does not mean the flame. It means the cup that holds the oil. Okay, the Ne'er, Neiros of the menorah. So the menorah lay in the Kodesh. It went north south. Okay, north south. So you have the center shaft, and then you have three branches north, three branches south. The north branches, the north Neiros, each Ne'er of the north Neiros pointed towards the middle. Each Ne'er of the south Neiros pointed towards the middle. And the middle one pointed towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You got it?
West.
You see it? West, which is west. Okay, right, everybody got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it means. El Mur Penei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shivas HaNeiros, it meant that they faced the middle. Right? That's the pshat. The Gemara says, that's the Pasuk. The Gemara, Rashi brings it down. I mean, that's the pshat. Mul means facing. Okay. So the seventh was the seventh, so to speak, faced itself. We'll get to it in a second. But that's what it means. Shiva Saneros, because it's reflexive a little bit. You'll see why in a second. Okay. So, but right. So what's the El Pnei HaMenorah? What does it mean? El Pnei HaMenorah. So what's the Pnei HaMenorah? The menorah. Menorah is the middle shaft.
Yeah.
Okay. You have it as well. You have it as well with. There's two other psukim. Now Moshe and I had a little bit of a debate about this, but okay, it's the lighting of the candles that's done is lahalos near tamid. So I maintain. Okay, you can't prove it because I maintain that lahalos. It doesn't say lahalos neros. It's lahalos near tamid. So it's the one candle. Moshe said that that's not a proof. And he's right, it's not a proof, because it could be the generic Ne'er, you know, like the... Okay, fine, you know, it's... But, I will tell you that there's an interesting halacha that if one of the six Ne'eros is extinguished, so it's to be relit, and what flame do you use to relight it for the six Ne'eros?
The middle one?
No.
The Ne'er
No, the six Ne'eros. Any other one. Doesn't matter.
Any other one?
If the middle Ne'er goes out, it could be relit only
from the Mizbeach.
From the flame on the Mizbeach. You cannot use another flame to light the middle Ne'er. The six, anything goes. The one, only the flame on the Mizbeach. It's clear. The center Ne'er is a different thing altogether. Okay? All right.
They didn't light it all the time.
What do you mean?
They had to go out to the Mazar to get a fire.
They had to get a fire from the thing, yeah. Yeah. So the truth is you didn't even have to light in the Eichal. You could bring the menorah out. And a Zohar could light the menorah. Okay. Sorry.
Rabbi Zucker?
What?
In that
whole issue about the Zohar
lighting.
Yeah.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yes.
The Ramban says that Lahalo's Ne'er Tamid is referring to the the Ne'er...
he says that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Ramban says, very good. Okay. All right. Bamidbar, and where's the Ramban?
On that pasuk, I believe.
Oh, so you, okay, you have in Shmos Chav Zayin Chav and Vayikra Chav Dalad Beis. Okay. All right. Now, so the question is like this: we have mixed messages now. Is the menorah 7 or is the menorah 1? What is it? What is the menorah?
The reason you say
7
is because
Matzah said 7. Yeah, it's all the menorah. I mean, that's all, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
The
Yerach is the base.
Right.
So,
right. As far as structure.
But, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So this last thing, this last one we could answer. Okay? Yeah. And it's not an answer that we'll come up with. I mean, Chazal already dealt with this problem. You know, it's, what is it? So the answer is like this. It is a Rashi. Before we get to Rashi, I want to say it like this, okay. Say as follows. The menorah essentially is only the center shaft. That's the menorah. Okay? But the only thing is that we need the six other branches to serve the function of the center shaft. So in other words, like this. Inherently speaking, menorah is really only the center one. And if were it not for a problem that needs to be addressed, we'll see what the problem is in a second, so then the menorah would be only the center shaft. But we need the other ones because of an issue. What's the issue? So Rashi says, Rashi's on Bamidbar Perichas Pasuk Beis, I mentioned the Pasuk before, the Dibar Masil is Ya'iru Shivas HaNeiros, and he says, why do the other ones face the middle? It's to show everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need the light. So it means like this. If you just had the center shaft, a candle, so you could walk away easily with the impression, so there's a candle in the Mikdash, God needs the light. You see? What kind of story will come up with for how that works? Interesting, but okay, fine. You know, what you have over here is the six other candles pointing towards the center. If the menorah was there for the light, so then they would all face the same way. You see, they're spreading basically straight up. I mean, you know, like but they're facing the middle to highlight. Pardon the pun, you know, the middle one, it's not for the light. It's not for the light. It's to represent a certain idea. It's not the light. It's not that God needs the light, you know, see? So that's really why you have the other six. So really, the menorah essentially is really the center branch, but you have the other six to remove the possibility of thinking that having a candle in the Mikdash is because God needs the light. Okay, it's Rashi. Okay. So what's the menorah? Is it 7 or 1? So the answer is like this. Well, by its nature, it's really the middle candle. But because of this problem, so the menorah was established by a Kaddish Baruch Hu this way in the Torah. So, of course, it's ma'akev. Once that's established, so then everything's ma'akev, everything else. So it becomes part of the structure of the menorah. But by its nature, the menorah really is one candle. That's really by the nature of the menorah. Menorah itself is really one candle. Okay, is it clear? Okay. All right. Yeah. By the way, this explains an interesting anomaly. Rambam says in Halacha Yudbeis, in our Perek, he says that all the kelim in the Mikdash faced, you know, were arranged in the direction of the Mikdash. As the Mikdash went east-west, in terms of length, right? Every single kli in the Mikdash went, if it wasn't a square, if it's a square, then obviously, right? But every rectangular, every kli in the Mikdash went east-west. Except the Aron. Okay, why? Like the other one north south. Why? Yeah. So the answer is because it's to differentiate it. In other words, the other kelim are simply the part of the bias, so they follow the floor plan of the bias. The Aron is not just another clay. The Aron is it has significance unto itself, so to speak. So that's why it's differentiated. Okay, fine, that makes sense. One second. But there's another one. So the Rambam says like this. He says, V'chein sh'ar, he's talking about the Shulchan here, he says, V'chein sh'ar kol ha-kelim shev ha-mikdash, orkam la-orkam shel ha-bayis, chutz min ha-oron, sh'haya orkam la-rocha ha-bayis, V'chein neiros ha-ma-rocha, sh'hayu k'neged rocha ha-bayis ben sofon v'daram. So you have the Aron you can understand. And similarly, the menorah. Neros ha-ma-rocha. Now, what kind of exception is that? What's the answer? It's not an exception. The menorah is going l'orko shel abayis. Because the menorah, the essential menorah, is the middle candle alone. And that nair faces west, goes east-west. The other kanim are there. They're not essentially the menorah. They serve the function of the menorah, and therefore they're incorporated into it. But the menorah itself is really east west. So there's no exception here.
V'chein
that it's not an essential kli. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the pshat of the v'chein, the simple pshat of the v'chein is that just and similarly, you know, like factually. That's a good question. What the v'chein is. The question. He doesn't mention it.
I'm not wrong.
I think that's correct, but it's a good question. Well, you know, like why he doesn't? But he doesn't count that. He doesn't count that. Okay.
Is that considered one of the kelim?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of the seven.
It's just
yeah, it's
not in that
part. I know. So it's all questions, separate issues. The chemist. Okay. Are we there, guys?
Yep.
Okay. So I want to say now like this. So hold that thought. Okay. Yeah. What's the nature of the one there now? So the menorah is one there. So what's the nature of the one there? What is that? What is it? Okay. What is it doing? Okay. So, I mean, this bothered me for a long time, you know. So what is the one there? What is the menorah altogether? So you have, you look at to all kinds of homiletic explanations. I mean, it's it represents wisdom and the, you know, all kinds of different things. It's, you know, like, and I'm not denying, you know, ideas that it could represent. But simple pshat, I'm a simple guy. What is the nair doing in the mikdash? Okay. So it struck me as a few weeks ago. We read in Haftarah in Malachim Beis Perek Dalid. Pasuk Yud. I was actually spelled Pasuk Tes. So this is the famous Isha Shunamis. So Elisha would come to Shunem, and he would spend some time there. So this woman, great woman, she decided she was going to be very hospitable, so she hosted Elisha every time he came. So, and then finally got to a point where she said to her husband, Vatoma Elisha. So she said to her husband, so it's clear that there's a holy man here, and he comes all the time. We'll make a little border room, a little attic dwelling. Okay, v'nasim lo sham, and we'll put in the room. Listen carefully now. Mita, v'shulchan, v'chisei, u'menorah. We'll put there a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. V'haya b'vo eleinu yasur shama. When he comes here, so he could stay at the apartment. He could stay in the room. Okay. So what's the list over here? Four things. Mita, v'shulchan, v'chisei, u'menorah. So what are these things? What is it? No, what is it? What are those four things? They're furniture, right? House furniture. Clay bias. Okay? House furnishings. Okay. What I'd like to posit now is the following. Posit the first swara, the first idea tonight is like this. The first significant idea is as follows. That the kalim that were put into the Mikdash, or put there, to establish the Mikdash as Beis Hashem, as a bias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal. Slowly. Okay? All right. And of course, immediately, Talkei Dibor is saying that, so I have to point out that there are two categories, therefore, of Kelim in the Mikdash. There's one category is Klei Avoda and Hechsher Avoda, which is the Mizbeach, two Mizbechos, and the Kior, and the Kan. Okay? The base of the Kior. Okay? So you have the Mizbechos and the Kior. So the Mizbechos are the Klei Avoda. It has nothing to do with house furnishings. I assume nobody here has a Mizbeach in his house as part of the house furnishings. Okay? And the Kior is Hechsher Avoda. To wash before doing the avoda, and then you have the second category is house furnishings, and those are the other kelim in the mikdash. All right, so slowly. The standard house furnishings, the standard clay bias. It's good. It's fortunate that we have a pasuk for this. You know, like we don't have to rely on convention. You know, like. Because then if we relied on conventions, then the people would be saying, well, what about end tables? And what about, you know, like, we have a pasuk. What are the clay bias for Kalim? Mita, Kisei, Shulchan, and Menorah. Okay. So where's the Mita in the Beis Hashem? There is none. Exactly. It can't be. Why? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Beis Hashem could not possibly contain a bed. It's impossible. Okay? Now, fine. Okay. You can't contain a bed because the nature of the Baal HaBayis, so to speak, doesn't allow for that. Okay. Where's the Shulchan? Mitav Shulchan v'chisei menor. Where's the Shulchan? It's the Shulchan. Okay. Where's the Kisei? Aranya
Hashmayim Kisei.
Right? Where's the key? Where is it? It's the Aron. The Aron is the Kisei. How do you know? So I found, I think, six psukim throughout Tanakh. I'll tell them to you, but I'm not going to read each of the psukim, but Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet, Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, Melachim Beis, Perek Yates, Pasuk Tes Vav, Yeshaya, Pasuk Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Tehillim, Perek Pei, Pasuk Beis, Divrei Hayomim, Aleph, Perek Yigimel, Pasuk Vav. Every one of those psukim that I just quoted refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yoshev HaKruvim, he who sits on the Kruvim. Where's the Kisei in the Mikdash? Is the Aron. Okay. And the Menorah is the Menorah. Okay. So what I'm saying is, the kelim, these kelim in the mikdash, are present in order to define the mikdash, not simply as a makam avoda, which of course it is a makam avoda, but it's to define the mikdash as Beis Hashem. Okay, bias has clay bias. Here are the clay bias. Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Could you just clarify the difference between
what about?
Nor is there.
No, but the difference is like this. See, hinei lo yanam velo yishan means that the activity associated with a bed is God doesn't need anything physical. God doesn't need a bias. I mean, like the whole thing is, you know, like, that's not the point. The point is hinei lo yanam velo yishan means that this activity is something which there is no metaphor applicable to God that involves sleep. There's a metaphor applicable to God that involves sight. There's a metaphor applicable to God that involves sitting, and there's a metaphor applicable to God that involves not eating, but that involves, we'll see what the Shulchan is. I mean, okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right. How are you doing there, guys? Everybody okay?
Yep.
Okay. Now, you have another question? Okay, we'll call the Shulchan. Okay. So now, what I want to say, that's very nice, that's good, okay? The menorah is, so far again, the menorah is the middle nair, the sentence one there, but you, we apparently need something to show that, it's, that God doesn't need the light. Okay, all right. But I want to say, let's go further now. I want to say like this, that besides the idea of the furniture, besides the idea of clay bias, so there is another significance, there is another significance to the Aron and the Shulchan and also the Mizbeach Hazav, but we'll leave that out. I mean, I'll mention it now also, but not one of the clay bias. But there is another significance to the Aron and the Shulchan that each one of those has unto itself. In addition to simply being there as a house furnishing, there's a significance to the Shulchan. Let's take the Shulchan. There's a significance to the Shulchan in and of itself, aside from the fact that it's a table present in the idea of the house. Okay? What demonstrates that idea? What demonstrates the significance of those kelim that they have unto themselves?
The crown?
Exactly.
Read
that? The Zer. Okay, the Zer. Okay. So it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah. Mishnah is in Pirkei Avos. You know the Mishnah. It's Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Dalet, Mishnah Yud Gimel. Shlosha Ksarim Heim. The three crowns that Klal Yisrael received. Keser Torah, Keser Kehuna, and Keser Malchus. If you take a look at Shmos Rabbah, it's very well known. Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Lamed Dalid, paragraph Gimel, so it says that the three crowns of the Mishnah are present in the Mikdash. Namely, the crown of Torah is the Zer on the Aron. The crown of that's the crown. Yeah, the crown of Kehuna is the Zer of the Mizbeach. Follow, because the Aron is the Luchos Torah. Yep. The Mizbeach is Avodah, is Kehuna, the service, right? And the crown of Malchus is the Shulchan. What's the idea of the Malchus being the Shulchan? So this is the concept of Shulchan HaMelech. It's the idea of riches of the bounty of food so that's the idea of Malchus. So it turns out now like this. It turns out now as follows. How many roles, so to speak, does the Aron play in the Beis HaMikdash? Two. It has significance unto itself as an idea with regard to Torah, and it's one of the Klei HaBayis. How many roles does the Shulchan have in the Mikdash? Two. It's the idea of Malchus and the idea of Klei HaBayis. How many roles does the menorah have? What's the answer? How many roles does the menorah have? It has only one. Namely, Klei HaBayis. That's it. Klei HaBayis. Okay? Which means to say, gentlemen, if we stop the Shia right here, which I don't plan to do, but if we stop the Shia right here, so there's a very profound idea that emerges. And then, namely, the menorah is the only kli, the only vessel in the Beis HaMikdash whose entire identity is exclusively devoted to the idea of Beiso Shel Hashem, of the Mikdash as Beis Hashem. Because every other kli is either Avodah, which is not the idea of Beiso Shel Hashem altogether, or it's something else plus the idea of Beiso Shel Hashem. The menorah is the only vessel, the only one, in the entire Mikdash, whose identity is completely Beis Hashem. Okay, you see it? Is it clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What's the idea of Beis Hashem? What is this idea now? Let's analyze the Kav Yachal. What's the idea of Beis Hashem? What does it mean? What does it mean? So, if you take a look, I mean, I won't go through the Pesukim now, but if you take a look in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Hey, and Zechariah, Perek Ches, Pasuk Gimel, And Yecheskel, Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. So the idea of Beis Hashem is the idea of Shechina. It's the idea of the dwelling place of God. Of Yachol. Okay? What does it mean? What does it mean? That the, in other words, what do I mean by that? I mean, it's a pshat, simple pshat, right? Bayis is the place where you dwell. Your house is the place where you, your dwelling place. Shechina means dwelling. That's what it means. Simple pshat. Okay, what does it mean? What does Shechina mean? What does that mean? God dwells. What does that mean? What does it mean? So you, for that, you have to take a look at Shlomo HaMelech's famous dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. It's in Melachim Aleph, Perek Ches. So he gave a whole long tefillah. It's beautiful. Everyone should go through it. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. You should go through all of Tanakh. I mean, it means the dwelling place. Of course, Shechina means the perceived presence of God. It means that a human being is able to look at it and say, I can gain ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Kvod HaMalei Olam. I mean, where's the Shechina? Shechina is everywhere. I mean, what does it mean? That's a mistake that people made from saying that the Shechina is everywhere, that God is everywhere. The first statement is an absolutely true statement, fundamental principle of Torah. The second statement is heresy. I mean, that's how you get easily confused. The Shechina is everywhere means that there's everything that a person looks at in the universe can lead him to knowledge of God. There are concentrated points which are more prone to lead a person to knowledge of God. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. I mean, it's an interesting in the tefillah. He says, "Hashemayim v'shemayim v'shemayim lo yichal kalucha." God doesn't occupy physical space. What does it mean to build a bayis l'Hashem? He asked the question in the tefillah itself. But the answer is, it means that's the idea of the Shechina. It means not for God, of course. It's absurd. It means for man, obviously. That's the idea of Shechina. So the Beis HaMikdash is set up as Beiso Shel Hashem for mankind. By the way, it's not just Klal Yisrael, it's mankind. Ki Beisi, Beis Tefila, Yikari L'chol Amim. You see? So Beisi, my house, what does it mean? It means that anybody going to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Mikdash is prone, it's conducive to lead a person to certain ideas. See, it's certain ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's reflected, that very idea itself is reflected in the structure of the Mikdash. An interesting thing. It's not just that the Beis HaMikdash is Makam HaShechina, but the Beis HaMikdash reflects the fact that it is Makam HaShechina. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, it's not just that the Mikdash is Makam HaShechina, but the Beis HaMikdash itself has to reflect that it is Makam HaShechina. That's the whole idea of making it into a house, you see? Otherwise, just to have the Mizbech, just to have the Aron, you know, like... But there has to be a reflection that this is a house. It has to reflect that this is a place where man is able to perceive the idea of God's, for God's presence, of the idea, Kaviyachal means the ideas of Barak HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. Marking the spot as saying this is one of those concentrations.
That's right. Keep basing based the tefillah. Exactly right.
Okay.
Which aspect of the Mikdash are you referring to, which is more conducive to knowledge of God?
That's a good question. That's a separate question. I mean, what is it about the Mikdash? So it's a few things. It's not only is it the structure, but first of all, it's the place. Har Yeroyah, it's Adam Arishon and Noach and Avram Avinu and Yaakov. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things in the place, because Kedushas Mikdash is really Kedushas Makom, b'Makom Asher Yivchar. So it's a place with regard to a certain, just simply the designation of the place, which brings to mind certain ideas from the Avos and from Adam and Noach. I mean, and then you have also the very structure, the idea of the Kruvim, the motif of the Kruvim all over the place. Now, not just on the Kaparis, but it was woven into the fabric, literally.
Right.
I mean, the design, you know, like the Mikdash and the whole thing, a lot of different things.
Did they correlate that in the Mikdash also? I mean, they
only had
it literally woven in the Mishkan. Did they have, like, on the walls?
Yeah, all these designs. Yeah.
Kabanos
also. The whole thing. The Sanhedrin, Lishkas HaGozes, everything about the Mikdash. I mean, it's a beautiful... The Mikdash is... beautiful thing. I mean, it's so when Moshe and I started to learn, like, you know, after we finished going through this, so Moshe said, okay, what do you want to do next? So I told him, I said, it's very hard for me to leave the Mikdash. We're working on something else now in based on Mikdash. Okay, but anyway, so that's the idea of Beso Shel Hashem. That's the idea of Beis Hashem. Okay. All right. Yeah. So that explains, that's why it's really, one there, but if the one there is going to lead people to a misunderstanding, so then you have a problem. So you have the six kanim are there to correct the misunderstanding that people can have, because if you have a misunderstanding about God, I mean, it defeats, not only is it, of course, the worst terrible thing that can happen, but it defeats the very purpose of the thing that you're doing in the first place. Okay. All right. So the menorah, as I say, is unique amongst all the kelim, because it alone is the one thing that uniquely, exclusively, is reflects about the bias. And that's why I maintain, you could argue about what I'm about to say, you could debate it, I mean, but I believe that's why the halacha is like this, that when the Kohen is mativ and mativ is aneros, so he doesn't do it all in one shot. He does five and two, right? He's made the five and aneros, he cleans it out and relights it, and then in the morning, and then he does the avoda, and then he comes back and does two afterwards, right? Why? So the Rambam mentions the Gemara. The Rambam mentions the Hilchos Tamidin Musaf and Perek Gimel Halacha Tazayin. Why does he do it? Kedei lahargish is the Rambam's lashon of the Gemara. Kedei lahargish is kol ha'azara. What does that mean? Kedei lahargish is kol ha'azara. It means lahargish means to feel or to make felt. Kol ha'azara. What are you talking about? Well, what do you mean? He split up the lighting of the candles in this way. Kedei lahargish es kol ha'azara. What does that mean? You see, but it's in other words, like this: you have the lighting of the candles or the affixing of the candles before and after the main part of the avoda. So in other words, it envelops the avoda. Why? Kedei lahargish es ha'azara. To make the azara felt. What are you talking about? But if you understand that the menorah is the kli, which is reflective on the whole bias, so the azara is the floor plan of the bias. I mean, it's the courtyard of the bias. So it means that it impresses upon people the idea of the connection between the bias and the seder avoda, the aspect of bias of the Beis HaMikdash and the aspect of the avoda there. See, that's to my mind, it's the only way you can understand. It's the only way you can understand it. I mean, what do you mean? You light the candle, you split up the light of the candles. Lahargish is azara. What does one thing have to do with the other? I mean, but the lighting of the candles, the menorah, is the idea of the bias enveloped. That envelops the idea of the avoda. So it means you're enveloping the avoda with the idea of the bias. So it's, you're making a connection between the idea of the bias and its relationship to the avoda. That's what I want to say is the idea of lahargish es azara. Okay, you like it, you don't. But, I would say like this. I mean, it also explains, this idea also explains the what we said, just give me 1 second. Yeah. Explains the idea of why the Nes Chanukah had to be with the menorah. That's just like saying. I mean, you know, like, why is the Nes Chanukah the menorah? It could have been, theoretically, it could have had a Nes involving any of the Kalim, you know, like, but I want to claim that there's a Hashgacha that the Nes Chanukah had to have involved the menorah. Because what was the idea of the Nes Chanukah? What happened after they won the war? What was the thing? I don't mean the Tanasa Tamea. What?
The bias.
What was rededicated?
The bias.
They breached
it.
The bias. That's right. The process and the bias. The bias. What did you say this morning for the Shir Shal Yom? Mizmor Shir, Chanukas HaBayis, David. You see? So the idea is, it's Chanukas HaBayis. Which kli uniquely and exclusively reflects the idea of the bias is the menorah. the menorah. See?
Why would that be only by a rededication and not like in the initial Chanukah Sabayis?
What do you mean?
I mean, it seems like menorah only has a significance, you know, like the second time around, you know, when there's like a rededication. I mean,
on the guy, on the contrary, it's interesting. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because you know the famous Rashi brings down the famous Medrash that that Aaron was very upset with the Nesiyim at the original Chanukah Sabayis, right? Chanukah Samishkan, right? The Nesiyim brought the you familiar with this? The Nesiyim brought the Korbanos. So Aaron had nothing to do, had no role to play. So he was very upset. He said, how could it be that the Nesiyim are doing all this effort and all this avodah for the you know, for the Chanukah Mishkan, and I have nothing? And he was very, very saddened. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. I'm going to give you something, and yours will be greater than all of theirs. And what was it? Alos Chazaneros. So, on the contrary, so you see that the climax of the original Chanukah Samishkan also was the lighting of the menorah. You see? That's why, really, the laning throughout Chanukah is the Korbanos Hanesiyim, but on the last day, it's Zos Chanukah, so they go into, that's our minute. We go into Baal Oscha. We read Baal Oscha. Okay. All right. So, but I'll explain to you something else now that once I worked out the idea, it occurred to me that is an unbelievably beautiful idea. Yaakov, you should be jumping up now. Last year's Chanukah Shiur. What was last year's Chanukah Shiur? Was it last year? Which was the idea that was near bias? Was that last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Last year, whatever it was. I barely remember saying it, so don't worry, don't feel bad. It's okay. This is Tumah V'Tahara. So 2 years ago. So we said 2 years ago. The Shiur 2 years ago was that the what's near Chanukah? Near Chanukah is really what did Chazal do when they instituted near Chanukah? So they said that you have to light the light of your house because they couldn't possibly say light the duplication of the light of the menorah in the mikdash. It's awesome in Menatori. You can't duplicate the kelim. You see? So what did they do? They took a normal human social phenomenon, namely house lights, and they made that into the mitzvah. That was the Shiur, remember? Oh, now it's unbelievably beautiful. Because now, and we didn't appreciate it, I certainly didn't see it last, you know, like, but now it turns out that by doing that, that's exactly what the menorah is. It's the house lights of the house. So it's exactly a replication. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's not just that Chazal took this human phenomenon of house lights because they had no choice. And, you know, they settled for it. They didn't settle on anything. Our house lights is a duplication of the menorah. Because what is the menorah? It's the house lights of Beis Hoshana Hashem. Amazing. Amazing idea. Okay.
All right. Rabbi, isn't that what you're trying to avoid, though, in that last year, that should not be a duplication of the menorah?
No. So you can't duplicate the structure of the menorah, right? You can't duplicate the structure. You can't reproduce a menorah. That you can't do. But the whole idea is that you're lighting the lights, you know, to Laharos, to Lagalos, Anes. I know that's not the way I didn't write that. I understand that. But it's... But the idea is to remind. He does say actually at the end, he talks about the idea of to remember the nes and to be Moshe Shavach. So how does it work? You're lighting candles, or what's lighting candles? But the answer is that house lights is exactly the identity of what the menorah is in the Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful idea. Okay, you got it, David.
Yeah.
Okay, now. I know we didn't answer all the questions yet, okay? But in order to answer the rest, we got to stop the Shiur. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. I mean, it's so you should know tomorrow night when you light. So you're lighting your house lights, and house lights is a replication of really what the menorah is in the mikdash. I mean, it's you know, it's house lights, okay? But
are you connecting the two major, or what I see to be the two major ideas that you've expressed so far? That the reason that you especially need to
one.
Yeah.
One specifically is the light of the house that you might. That's,
that's correct. Out. Exactly. That's correct. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay. All right. But now, in order to answer the other questions, we have to go into the menorah itself. And I have to tell you, we worked on this a long time. It's not easy. And we were very discouraged by a Ramban. There's a Ramban that he says on the Chumash, it's, you see it, it's like, he says on the Chumash, he says, who knows what these things are? You know, it's like, it's very, very difficult. It's amazing. I mean, I was ready to, almost ready to quit, you know, like, so if the Ramban doesn't know, then, you know, like, that's the end of the, it's the end of the story. But it, one thing's clear, you want to analyze the menorah, you can't, you absolutely can't do it on your own, because you wind up going off into crazy things. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. You see, you start, it becomes like, you hope you're not free associating, you know, like, it's just, off into, it's like amazing, you know, but what is it? What is it? If I told you what I thought, it would be more revealing about me than it would be about the truth. So, leave that aside. All right, what is it? So we found one Rishon who was amazingly helpful. Amazingly helpful. And that is Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam. Amazing, you'll see, I mean, it's an amazing thing. He wrote a Perush on Chumash, not too well known. But unfortunately, we have Shemos. We don't have the whole Torah, but we have Bereshis and Shemos. Not even all the Bereshis. But the Shemos we have, and so let's go through what he said on Shemos Perek Chaf Hei, Psukim Lamed Aleph through Lamed Gimel. So we'll start off like this. The Kos, the Gvia. So he says like this. He says, the Gvia, he mentions, is the form of a specific cup. It's not just Stama cup. He says it's a very specific cup. It's narrow on the bottom and it gets wider on the top. He says, and it comes from Vesgevi'i Gevi'a HaKesef V'Gomer. Where is that? Pasuk, Vesgevi'i Gevi'a HaKesef? Yosef. Right? Okay. So, and if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam on that Pasuk in Bereishis, so he says, it's amazing, he starts to elaborate, he goes into the whole thing, elaborating on the coast, you know, like, he says in Bereishis Mem Daled Beis, he says, it's like the glass cups that you could find in Israel. So apparently, we're not talking about a very common thing. Today, you know, okay, common, but in those days, first of all, glass was a very precious thing, you know, like, they didn't have glass. Well, it wasn't so common, and only those produced in Israel. It's a funny thing, right? It's a very special type of cup. Okay, fine. The Rambam, I want to point out to you, the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnah on Kalim, Perak Lamed Mishnah Aleph, the Dibra Maschil is v'is. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. V'is Kupla. Is Kupla? He says is a Gvia. It's in Kalim. I'm talking about those Kalim which are Makabel Tuma. So he says, in his kukla is a gvia. It's a gvia. He uses the word gvia. He says it's the type of thing that you put sweet things into it. And because of that, it's also to bring in his kukla, a gvia, into a base avel, even empty. You're not allowed to bring a gvia into a base avel. Why? Why? Because it's associated with containing, you know, sweets, and so therefore it's like a happy type of thing, and so you can't, even the very existence of the thing, the very presence of the thing in the Beis Avel would be contrary to the whole spirit of what the Beis Avel is all about, so you're not even allowed to bring it in. Okay. That's the Gvia. Okay? The Gviam or Meshukadim. So he says, Ben Aram says, that in every gvia, he says, b'chol gvia, there was a blita, it was like a protrusion. Thank you. Protrusion, couldn't find that word. Bas relief, I was, you know, okay. Protrusion of, that was like an almond, like the side of an almond. Like the wrinkly side, it was made to look like an almond. Okay? Meirosh ha-gvia v'ad sofo. Entire length of the gvia. Okay? That's the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam on the gvia. At this point, you're probably wondering to yourself, this is a help? I mean, you're like, okay, but one second. right. On top of the Gvirim, Kaftorim. Okay, so what's a Kaftor? So he says, Blita Bitavnis Tapuach Shomim Miyuchad. He says, it's a protrusion of a Tapuach, which does not mean apple. Okay, it's a citrus fruit. And his machlokas is from Crete or from Beirut, from Lebanon, right? So his machlokas in Agirsa, which city? But apparently it's a very, very special type of fruit, right? Like some exotic type of fruit. That was the kaftar, okay? Now, I just want to point out to you, it's interesting because the Rambam says, and Rabbi Avraham also says, and it was the shape was kimo beitza. So it's a funny thing. So just say beitza, you know, like. But no, it was a cup. It was this special min miyuchad, this very special type of fruit, this, you know, very particular fruit that you could find only in one place. Okay, that's the kaftar. And above the kaftarim, the prachim. Now listen carefully to what he says like this. The prachim, he says like this. Hushal min. The idea of perach is borrowed from, is taken from, he quotes two psukim. One is in Melachim Aleph, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavav. Okay? The pasuk is like this. Usfaso, this is talking about the Beis HaMikdash. It's talking about the Yamshal Shlomo. Not the Achron, the actually the tub in the Beis HaMikdash. Usfaso, Kimase, Sfas, Kos, Perach Shoshan. It had a lip. If you can imagine like a tub, but the tub didn't just come up and stop, but it came up and then a lip overturned it. You know, like it turned back down. So that was Sfaso, its lip, Kemase Sfaskos Perach Shoshan, like the lip of a lily. Okay? All right? You know, you look at flowers, you see very often the petal of the flower goes up, 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 and then it turns back on itself and there's a lip that, you know, that comes back down. That's what it means. Okay, Vigam, right? That's the Pasuk. Vigam, and he quotes the second Pasuk. The gam min, it's a pasuk from Shir HaShirim Perek Vav Pasuk Yadav. Lir os haporcha hagefen heinetsu harimonim. Did the gefen sprout? Haporcha hagefen heinetsu harimonim. Did the pomegranates, you know, blossom? Okay, that's the perach. Are you all right? You with me?
Kind of.
Okay. No, you're with me. I mean, you just... Okay.
What did that last pasuk show? Just that perach means blossom?
Say it again?
What did that last pasuk show?
Because he said, where's perach come from? It comes from haparach ha-gefen. Comes from the language of the vine blossom forth. So the perach on the menorah is borrowed from that concept. Whatever that concept is, we don't know yet. Okay?
Yep.
It was... Okay. Then he says like this. He says one last thing. He says Vakonim Hayotzim in haMenorah. I'll tell you something before I tell you what he says. I will tell you this, that when Moshe and I were learning, we saw this thing. I think simultaneously, it just jumped out and brought the whole thing together. So for us, like this was the thing that you'll see in a second. Okay, Vakonim Hayotzim in haMenorah. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing what he says. They are kimo anafim. And I don't have to say anything else. Anafim. Anafim. Branches. Okay? Alright. So I'm going to ask you one simple question now. Gentlemen, tell me what I'm describing to you. Anafim, Shkedim, Tapuchim, Prachim. What am I describing to you? A tree. Okay? I'm describing a tree. So we started off by saying as follows. The menorah, at least according to Rabbeinu Avraham Aram, the menorah in its form, in this form, the menorah is a tree. Wait. Okay. Right. But you have to understand, I mean, there is no tree like this. There is no tree that has flowers, almonds, and and these citrus fruits from Beirut, you know, like in one tree. It doesn't exist all in one tree. I mean, it's so yes. So it's very easy to check. All you have to do is check an almond tree. Okay. So just eliminate the right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll leave him out of the picture. Okay. So all right. So there's no such thing as a tree that has all these, but it means it reflects the idea of somehow of a tree. Okay. Hold on for a second. Okay. Yeah. The only thing is like this. There's one thing that doesn't grow on trees.
Nair.
Cups don't grow on trees, right? Cups do not grow on trees.
The old phrase.
Which is an amazing thing. That's true, all right? They say money doesn't grow on trees. No, they had it wrong. Cups don't grow on trees. Okay. So you're right, cups don't grow on trees, right? But you have a fascinating thing now. According to Avram ben Arambam, let's stick with Avram ben Arambam now. According to Avram ben Arambam, there's only one thing of the three groups, there's only one thing that was almondized. There's only one thing that had the carvings of the almond in it. What was it? The gviyam. The prachim and the kaftan didn't have it, according to Avraham ben Arambam. Okay? Why did the cups have an... Why did the Torah insist the cups be carved, as almonds? What's the answer?
Make up a lack of
tree. They have to be able to fit on the tree. They have to belong on the tree. So what makes them, what gives them a place on the tree is the fact that they're domel shkedim. You see, mishukadim. Okay? Now, what's the idea? What's the idea? What's the unifying idea behind these three things? Right? You see, you have the cups, which are almondized, the citrus fruit, and the flower. But what's the idea? What's the idea behind it? So I'd like to say as follows. The idea is that they are Mara, they all reflect on the idea of bounty from God. Okay? Tuv Hashem, bounty from God. You have the idea of the Kosos, and by the way, three Kosos, Rubri Kosos, like a bounty. I mean, it's the cup, and the cup signifies Gvi HaKesef, that's why it's... That's why Ben Avraham and Rambam went to the pasuk by Yosef, the king's cup, the viceroy's cup. I mean, you see the cup which signifies, and not just any cup, the special cup in Israel that's shaped in a certain way that holds wine, that holds sweets in it. The cup that you're not allowed to bring into the Beis Avel, that's one idea. The special exotic fruit, and the idea of the beauty of the flower. Okay. So I want to say that these ideas all together signify, according to Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, the idea of the of bounty from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Well, let me just give me a minute to develop the idea. Okay? All right. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. But...
Anything
else?
No.
Yes, no, same way. Same exact thing. The only difference, the son argues with the father about Mishukadim.
And they're all has it on everything, right?
Yep, okay. Says it openly.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's interesting now. Why does Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam quote two psukim for the parach? Why does he quote two psukim for the parach? What's the answer? So you look at the two psukim. One pasuk was the shape of the flower. The other one is the idea of blossoming. Of the plant, of blossoming. You see? Okay. So what I want to say now is like this. I'll come back to this in a second, but I want to say, why is there one flower at the base, at the Yerach? What's it doing there? One flower by itself. It's sitting at the base. In the middle of that center branch, you had a Gvia, Kaftar, and Perach. Then you had, okay, that kaftorim we have to come to also. But then you had gvim kaftorim. What's the one flower doing there? What's the answer? Because that one flower on the bottom is signifying one thing. Namely, that the thing that is about to emerge, that is about to rise from this base, is a plant. It's a, it's a, it's, right, it's a, it's botanical. It's botanical. You see?
Base.
That's really what the menorah is. Okay? All right, 1 second.
Base be a big
okay. Just reserve your judgment about my sanity for a few more minutes. Okay. Yeah. What's the machlokas between Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam and the Rambam? Why is the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam says mishkadim only for the gviyim, and the Rambam says for all of them? And it's interesting. Interesting. They both say that making that finish was an art that the jewelers, that metal workers have. They both say that. Interesting. So what's the machlokas? So what I want to say now is like this. They both agree that the presence of Meshukad comes into the menorah only vis-a-vis the Gviyam. That's all. I'll give you a raya for it. Look at the pasuk in the Torah. Where does the Gviya come in? So Gviya is mentioned with regard to... Where does the word Meshukad come in? So Meshukad is mentioned with regard to the Gviyam. You see? It's, in the second pasuk, it's mentioned, it's very ambiguous. It could be only the Gviyam, it could be both. But in the earlier pasuk, if you want to take a look, it's in Shemos Perek Chafei Pasuk Lamed Gimel. It's clear that Meshukad refers to the Gviyam. You see? So what I want to say is like this. They both agree that it comes into the menorah only via the Gviyam. Why? Because a Gviyam doesn't belong on a tree. It has to be fitted to the tree. So it's almondized. You see? Now, once that's... So, and Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam stops there. That's it. But the Rambam holds like this, that since... And the Gemara, by the way, I think was specific about it. The Gemara didn't... Is it for all three, or is it only for one? So, it's interesting. The father held one way, the son held the other way. So, but what's the machlok? What's the base of the machlokas? Or at least, how can you understand... How can you put the machlokas into a framework? See, the Rambam maintained like this, that once it enters via the Gviyah, and it is a jeweler's artisan, you know, it's a way to make, to carve metal. So in order to be mitzarif here, I mean connect. In order to connect the decorations, you know, and make them all unified, so that which was applied to the gviya, because it had to be, the gviya had to have it, now is mispashek, now spreads to all the other things, and that's a way of unifying all the, you know, all the decorations. Whereas Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam says, I mean, I know I'm not going to the end point of the svar over here. You could work on it further. I mean, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam says it's limited to where it's needed, you know, to be introduced into the menorah. At least that gives a basis for the machlokas. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So what's the idea over here? What's the idea? So you have like this. So just give me 1 second now. So you have as follows. We could now describe. I can now explain to you. I will not look at the picture. Now you can tell if you have a good svara. Your good svara is if somebody who has very, very poor memory is able to remember a complex set of facts, you know, without, you know, not really memorizing it. Okay. Here's the menorah. So, right. Here's the image of the menorah. It's a little small, hard to see, but okay. You start off at the bottom with a base. Good. At the top of the base, you have a perach. One lone perach. Why? What's it doing there? So again, that reflects the idea that this is a tzomeach. The nature of this thing is a tzomeach. Why is that reflective of the whole menorah? So it's interesting. The measurement, going from the ground and up, the yerach, the base of the menorah is three tefachim high. Where's the point of the three tefachim? Is the perach included in the three tefachim, or is it not included in the three tefachim? It absolutely is. It's part of the base. The perach is part of the base. So you see, it's reflective of the menorah as a whole. Okay, then you have two tefachim blank. Okay? Then you have one tefach, in the span of one tefach, one gviya, one kaftor, and one perach. Small. Why? What's the answer? And why not three gviyam? So I maintain like this, that one tefach means it's one unit. See, it's one unit of those forms, of those concepts, all unified together. See, so you don't have three. It's not the three. What this is that one tefach is reflective of, you know, of what's going to happen above. But it's one unified idea of what's going to take place above. Okay, two tefachim blank. Tell me if I'm wrong. Two tefachim blank. One tefach of a kaftor. Okay. Now, what is that kaftor? What's going on over there? And here you have a famous machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi on the one hand, and other Rishonim on the other hand. Were the branches of the menorah curved or straight? Rashi and the Rambam explicitly say or draw straight. Others say curved. Okay? All right. In fact, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aramah made a point of it in his parashah on the Chumash. He said, and straight like my father drew, unlike what other, you know, other people say. Okay. It's a little hard to define that machlokas, I mean, you know, but why did the Rambam insist on straight? So, I have to say this in Moshe's name. Moshe said it's the following idea. Why straight? Who cares? I mean, especially if you say, hold it, it's a tree. Well, branches can be straight. They don't have to be straight. Branches grow curved, you know, curved out also. So what's the idea? So Moshe said as follows. I think it's a beautiful idea. How many branches does the menorah have, essentially?
One.
It's really only one. So what Moshe wanted to say is like this. That they're straight because they emerge from the center. They, so to speak, come out of the center. It's hard for me to put down for the guys in yeshiva and tape what I'm doing now, but if you put your hands together,
acting like a tree.
If you put your hands together, you know, put your hands together such that you're they're vertical and your palms are facing each other, right? And your hands are touching thumb to thumb, index to index, etc. And then from the bottom of your palm, keep the bottom of your palm together, and the tips of your fingers and the rest of your hands start spreading out, so you have a hinge. It's hinging out. Moshe wants to say like this, that the Rambam insisted on straight because it's a reflection of the idea that all those branches hinge out from the center branch. It's like it's really only the center branch, and then the rest of them hinge out. Okay? What shape is at the base of a hinge?
Triangle.
So the answer, really?
Base of a hinge?
Yeah, is a ball. Is a ball is at the base of a circle. A circle is at the base of a hinge. So what Moshe's far is to say like this. Those kaftorim are not essentially there qua kaftor.
Which fits with his presentation.
Exactly. Those kaftorim are not there qua kaftor. They're there as a ball, because a ball is the shape that from which you have a hinge. See? But what the Torah did was it took one of the shapes that was established in the menorah and used it as the ball for the hinge. You see? And that's why if you look at the Rambam, the division of halachos, now it turns out to be beautiful. Exactly. So he says in Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph, he starts off with the center shaft, and then, right, the Gvi and the Kaftorim, right, the center shaft. Then in Halacha Beis, he mentions the Yurecha, he mentions the Od Parashlishi in Halacha Aleph. Why? Because that's part of the center, the essential definition of the menorah. Halacha Beis, he goes into the branches, and then after that's all over, he says, I'm sorry. In Halacha Beis, he goes into the branches, and that's where he says, Shlosha Kaftorim, Acheros Hayu B'Knei HaMenorah, Shemehen Yotza, you know, why is it a separate Halacha? It's in the center branch. It's in the center shaft. The balloons in Halacha Aleph. But the answer is not. It's not in the center shaft as a kaftor per se. It's only there to hinge out for the other branches. That's why it's in Halacha Beis. Beautiful idea. That's so you have a tefach. Let's go back to the shape now. To the tzura. So you have a tefach of the kaftor from which emerge. among all the branches. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's the that explains the whole tsuris, the whole tsuris of menorah. Okay.
Right. Rabbi?
Yes.
You said that above the bottom parach you had just one gevuah kaftar of ferach.
Yes.
Can you say that as an indication of what's above it? I mean, what's the significance of that? I mean, why do you need that?
That's to unify. It's to show you it's one entity. In other words, all three things are squeezed into one tefach. It means that the character of these things is one idea.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is that important at the base?
No, because that's the nature of the thing. It's telling you, because this is where are you going to do? Where are you going to do it? It's telling you
the
kanim,
the other
kanim are. You would say otherwise. You'd say that these are three separate things. You know, no, it's not three separate. It's one idea. One idea. Okay. Yeah.
The number of
shittim,
that would be like particulars.
The three?
Yeah.
No, so I would say it's ribui. Now you could do ribui with two is not really ribui. You could say seven, and that I can't answer. But you know, it's, the idea of three is ribui. It's the bounty of from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Yeah, because that's the that's the coast. That's what man. Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yes.
You have an idea for why the Gevim are upside down?
I don't think they're upside down. Next.
What was the
custom? Now the Rambam says in the Perusha Mishnah, he says he only drew the shapes to differentiate between the things, but he says don't be medayik and.
Okay.
I know there are people who say that Zdavka was upside down. I think, I don't think it was upside down. But, okay.
What was the kaftar again? Not the hinge, just...
The kaftar is the fruit, the exotic fruit. It is the, again, so a sweet...
I'm just trying to understand the theme of blossoming fruit and the sweet goblet.
So it means like this. It's bounty from God in the form of a tree. That's what the idea,
What did each one of those things contribute to that?
There's different ideas about the bounty. There's the kosos, the king's cup, the wine, the sweets, the fruit, the exotic fruit. That's
I'm saying like if I were one of these to get true, I just see two elements: the blossoming idea, like the fact that this is a plant. That's the parach, and then
there's the idea. There's also the idea of beauty. You could say it's
okay.
Right.
I'm just saying, and then you have sophia, and that'll tell you the idea of bounty. So why don't you or the copter? I don't really care.
That's the kind of question I can't answer. You could also ask me why you don't have more bounty. Why do you have five shapes? I mean, like I can't answer that. It's yeah. Where are you? Tess. Right.
And then
you describe
the shape.
Exactly. Right. Shapir Rachav, right. Shulay and Katar.
What's the
Prachim Kimo Pirche Hamudim. Shehem Kimo Ka'ara Usfas. Oh. It means a blossoming, a flower in its full blossom. Because flowers go through stages. I mean, in other words, it could have been a closed flower. It could have been a wilted, like a flower that's wilted. It means a stand up.
What do
you
mean?
Yeah.
Don't we say that Prochem is also the Geffen that he quotes? It's also reflects wine.
It's bounty also.
Yeah,
it's
not just
Yoti.
It's also.
Yeah, Parcha Geffen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so all these things. They contribute to an idea of bounty. That's really what it is.
How does beauty contribute to that?
Beauty?
Right.
It's because bounty is never an ugly thing. So, okay. Yeah.
Also, I don't know if this is a good question, but is there an idea of the
order? That's a good question. I didn't go into any of those things. Right. Good question. I didn't think about it. I mean, it's something to think about. It's a good question. Okay. Yes.
Didn't you say the idea of like the ocean and the Tiv Hashem is really the idea of the Shulchan?
The Malchus. We'll see. You'll see in a second. The idea of the Shulchan is Malchus, a different idea. Well, I'll explain in a minute. Okay. One idea is Tiv Hashem. But, is the idea of, at this point, I'd say simply, it's Hashgacha Pratis for Klal Yisrael operating in what we would call a positive way for Klal Yisrael as a whole. And there's the idea of Malchus. Malchus is another, of course, Malchus is can be signified and is signified by the idea of the riches of the king. That's true. But those are two different ideas. They can use, there's an overlap in terms of the vehicle, but it's two different ideas. You follow?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you explaining why a tree?
I didn't get to a tree yet. I'm coming to that right now.
Okay.
Most dramatic part of the shiur. Okay.
A full body presentation.
So you have like this. So you have like this. That's the tzura of the menorah. Okay. All right. But I haven't been totally accurate with you. Actually, you haven't been accurate with yourself. Because I'll tell you like this. I'm going to describe something. I'm going to describe the menorah to you. And I'd like you to tell me what it is exactly that I'm describing. And instead of saying tree, I'll just say some type of plant, okay? You have a plant, and it's got a center branch, and it branches out, and it's on fire. And it's on fire all the time. Yet it is not consumed. What is the menorah? What is the menorah?
It's the snare.
And I want to say the menorah is the snare. See, because the fire, you can't leave the fire out of the picture. You can't leave the fire out of the picture. Okay? So, I want to say, according to Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam, that the menorah is really an idea, it's something that points man's mind to the snare. Okay? To the snare. Now, why should that be? Why should that be? So it's an interesting thing. What's the character? What's the essential character of the snare? Well, what happened at the snare? So you don't need Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam to tell you, but he does tell you. But if you look at his parish on the snare, you know, but what happened at the snare? In two words, what was the experience of the snare?
Gilui Shechina.
You see? Now remember that the vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, the only vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, which exclusively reflects the idea of bias, and the idea of bias is the idea of Shechina. The kli which reflects that idea is the menorah, which is really the replication, so to speak, of the snare, which is Gilui Shechina. See? But I'll tell you, I'll go one step further than that. And I had the idea, I thought it was beautiful, an unbelievable idea, that this is what the menorah is. But I remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu being described as the dweller of the snare is something that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about. In the bracha, in Vezosa bracha, in the bracha to Yosef. So he mentions a lot of mimegeds. Right? You remember? From the, right? Simple story. At this point, hopefully everybody's still, still sober and paying attention to the laning. So, Ul Yosef Amar Mivarechas Hashem Arzo, Mimeged Shamayim Mital Umitahom Ravetzes Tachas. Anybody know what the word Mimeged means? Meged? Bounty. That's right. Umerosh Harei Kedem Umimeged Givos Olam. And now our Pasuk. Umimeged Eretz Umilera Uritzom Shochani Sneh. Where's the bounty is given by the will of he who dwells in the snare. Gomer.
Okay. How are you reading that?
What?
How are you reading that?
Is that how I'm reading it?
Now, how are you? Are you Umi Meged? Uritzon Shochani Sneh?
Uritzon Shochani Sneh.
Where's the break?
Where are you breaking that?
Breaking it in the correct place, where Ben Osher said to break it.
Which is what?
They foretold that the Rambam, the Codex, that the Rambam maintained is the only valued source of the Mesorah for the Torah Shebichsav.
Like Unklus?
This is very nice. Okay? So it means, by the way, this part of the cat that we have, we don't need Sammy for this. this part of the cat, and Sammy, where's the rest of the cat? Come on. Talk to your relatives in Flatbush. This part of the cat that we have, I actually have a photocopy, a facsimile copy of it downstairs. I checked it myself. But by the way, it doesn't ruin the pshat, because even Unkelus, Unkelus says, Umituv ara umela, roile, dishkinte bishmaya, the almosha iskali ba'asana. So, it's, for our purposes, it winds up essentially the same thing. But anyway, that's the idea. So the Ramban on the pasuk, the Ramban says, what does it mean? Ritzon shochni sneh, nimshach lamala, umay ritzon shochni sneh. So he said, why? Vayikra Hashem anichbad shochni sneh. He called Hakadosh Baruch Hu shochni sneh. Why? Ki sham nirei lav betchila. So that is the beginning of the whole Gilui Shechina, really, for Klal Yisrael. The Shochan Yomim Rabim Al HaSinai Shehu Makom HaSneh UMiSinai Bar VeShochan BeYisrael. And you know the Ramban, the famous Ramban. Ramban maintains that the Mikdash, the Mishkan, is really an extension of Sinai. That's the whole blueprint of the Mishkan is really emanates from Sinai. So Ritzon Shochni Sneh, the Kli that signifies the bias, we should not at all, and the bias is the idea of Shechina, so we should not at all be surprised that Kli is that which signifies the whole idea of the Shechina. The Rambam, that's Ramban. The Rambam in the Mora is a beautiful Rambam in the Mora. The Rambam in the Mora is in Chelek Aleph, Perek Chafei. Yeah. Just give me a second. Yeah. So the Rambam is talking about the word Shachan. You know, at the beginning of the Mora, he's defining a lot of terms. So he says, he's talking about the idea of Shechina. So he says like this. He says, it is on account of this latter figurative sense that the verb shachan is applied figuratively to God, may he be exalted. I mean, to the permanence of his indwelling, or his providence, in whatever place they may subsist in permanent fashion, or toward whatever matter providence may be permanently directed. So he says, Shechina is really applied to the idea of God's presence permanently, or God's hashgacha permanently. Thus it is said, Uritzon Shochni Sneh. Okay? We're going. So what does it mean? It means now that the menorah has both ideas. I mean, you have the idea of the permanent dwelling place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it? It's Beis HaMikdash, I mean, Kaviyachal, right? And the idea, I'm coming up to the idea of providence. I'm almost done. So I want to say now like this. That's the idea. That's really what the menorah is. An unbelievable idea. Unbelievable idea.
Was Har Sinai permanent though? I mean, like, what, after the event was over, we don't say there's a lasting...
Well, it means Sinai then is a... means Sinai is the Torah then.
I'm just
talking
about the idea of permanent.
It is permanent. Torah is permanent. But it doesn't mean the place, Har Sinai. It means the permanence.
You're suggesting the permanent qualifying your idea of...
Yeah, because it goes from Sinai into Klal Yisrael. So we carry Sinai. hashgacha, the Torah, you can, I mean, it's not, you know.
But you think you can't conceive of Shekhinah in a temporary fashion?
With regard to God.
What was her name, Shekhinah?
Dwell, you're right. With God, it's the allegory with regard to God. That's what Rambam says, it's a permanent idea. So it means that that's what he says. It's like an interesting thing. He says that he says it's permanent, and he left like after a few days, right? But it means no, because it means that Shechina devolved then upon Klal Yisrael. That's what happened. Okay, so now it's like this. Let's tie it all together. So it means like this. It means the menorah really exists. There are two layers, so to speak. Two layers. You see? One layer, one idea. So the menorah, the absolute basic menorah is the idea of the bias, which means Shekhinah Hashem. You see? But there's another idea associated with that. Like the Rambam says, the idea of Shekhinah with regard to presence, perceived presence, and then there's Shekhinah with regard to Hashgacha. You see? So I want to say like this, that the menorah, the basic feature, the basic idea of menorah is the base Hashem, the furniture of the house, is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal. But then there's also another idea superimposed onto that. I mean, it's grafted, so to speak, onto it. And that is the idea of Hashgacha. So I want to say like this now, that when Klal Yisrael is experiencing what we would call positive Hashgacha, you see, so then the menorah has to reflect that idea. Now, what's the barometer of measuring our, like a positive Hashgacha? Aniyim, you know, versus Im Hashiro. So if we have bounty, if we're given bounty, Meged, if we're given bounty, so then the full extent of the full paradigm applies. And you have the cups and the whole business, the whole thing. If not, if there are Aniyim, Avyanim, I mean, you know, so then it still has to be a clay, it has to be metal, right? And it's still the idea of the snare, still the idea of the tree on fire, but it doesn't have all those, it doesn't have the Meged aspect of it, you see, but it's clay bias, it does have that, but the idea of the Hashgacha, the tuv of the Hashgacha, so that's not reflected, you see. By the way, I want to point out to you, I did a calculation based upon the price of gold 2 weeks ago. I don't know what it is today, but based upon the price of gold 2 weeks ago, a kikar of Zav, in today's market value of gold,
$40,000.
Not counting the craftsmanship, just the weight of the gold.
How much is a
kikar? Kikar, what do we say? A kikar was 150 pounds.
Wow.
150 pounds.
What?
So the menorah weighed 150 pounds. And the price of gold is in ounces. So I did a simple calculation. The menorah in today's gold prices is slightly upward of $1.8 million. Just the gold, not the workmanship, not the... You know, just the raw material.
Where'd you get that a key card is 150 pounds?
Well, I looked up all the you have all kinds of books on modern measurements of these things. So, and it's based upon all the Gemaras that the key card is this and this many whatever it is. I forgot how they did it. The Beitzim, right. Whatever. Yeah. It's, Chazanish Menorah is probably, it's standard. I think pretty much everyone agrees.
In the back of this Practical Talmud Dictionary by Yitzchak Frank,
yeah,
they have, measurements in the back of that thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it seems like here they have a dinar is a quarter of a ma'ah, of a mana, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And a mana is, and a kikar is 60 mana.
Be careful now. There are two kikarim. There's a kikar of a metal measurement, and there's a kikar of a food measurement, right? And it's
according to weights.
Right. So what does it come out to in pounds?
So this, they have one dinar, which is a quarter of a mana, as 3.4 ounces.
Get the calculations. What does it come out though?
It comes out to about 50 troy ounces. Which is, and by the way, the measurements in the standards of gold is troy ounces, not ounces, correct?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so this is about 50 troy ounces, which would be about $40,000.
That's impossible. It's 18 fucking tall. It's impossible. It's impossible. You squeeze 18 fucking tall. It's pencil thin. It's impossible. Okay. Yeah. Right.
That's the scale.
John Schumann said it's like the Rambam's drawing. It's like stick. All right, but anyway, so that's what I'm saying is the idea of the that's the idea of the menorah, and Urtzon Shochni Sneh, and that's why with that you can answer the questions. You see, is it part of the menorah? Yes or no? So the answer is, what means a din in zav? So it's not a din in zav per se. It's not a din in the metal. Like kikar is a din in zav. Mixture is a din in zav. Gvin kaftar uprochen is a din in bounty, which is reflected through Zav. You see? So that answers, that really answers all the questions in that we asked in the beginning. Why is it the Mefuresh Rasa Batara? I mean, so the answer is like this, that the menorah in the paradigm is the idea of Shechina. And Shechina has a basic idea and a more complete idea. The basic idea is the presence. For the presence, you don't need Gvim Kaftarim and Prachim. But for the Ashgaga idea, so that does have the idea of Gvim Kaftarim and Prachim, as it is applicable. Im Hashiru, then it has to be golden. You know, so that's why the Tzura, which is Mufureshes Batara, is the complete idea of Shechina. You see? And you learn now from cloud part to cloud that there's a basic thing that's true, but okay, but the Torah presents the Tzura and Mufureshes is the paradigmatic idea, is the complete idea. You see? So just basically to quickly review, we started off by saying that the menorah is really a candle, simply a candle. What's the other branches are there to shed light on the middle candle. You're a good boy. the idea is because of clay bias, because of the idea of the house furnishings, and what's the whole idea of house furnishings is the idea of Shechina. Then we went into the Gvim Kaftarim and Prachim from Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam, who just consistently pointed to botany again and again and again. And so then you stop and ask yourself, what's a tree doing in the base of Mikdash? I mean, it's not allowed to plant trees in the base. Oh, what's going on over here? Right? Right? So Eitzum is, you can't have Eitzum is Baruch Hashem. I mean, what's going on? So it's not a tree. It's a plant that's on fire. So what is that? That's the idea of the snare. What's the idea of the snare? How does that fit into the whole idea? Because the snare is the idea of a Shechina. You see, that's, and it goes back to the Rambam, the Mara, and the Rambam. It's an unbelievable idea, but I want you to understand something. It means that the menorah is, at least according to Ben Aram over here, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea, but it's so multifaceted, multidimensional. You know, it's like, it's on its basic level, so it's a clay bias, you know. Okay, fine, good. You know, like clay bias, Shechina. But then there's another idea, and another idea. It's like, it's an amazing thing how the Torah structured the whole thing. It's just incredible, you know. But I think that I want to end off with one last point. That's the idea. The Medrash says that the menorah, when the menorah was lit, so it's said to the world, the Shechina Shuri of Israel. So why the menorah? You know, like the answer is because the menorah, again, uniquely is the kli, which reflects the idea of bias. That's the idea of Shechina. But the last point I wanted to end off with is like this. All related. I mean, if you take a look throughout Chazal, so you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu three things, the Marei Eish. Three things. Not, was shown a lot more by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other ways, but the Marei Eish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe three things. And they were the menorah. Rashi, you can find that Rashi on Shemos Per Chafei Pasuk Mem, the menorah. The Machtes HaShekel, the Marei Eish, which that's in Rashi on Shemos Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Gimel, and the Mishkan in total. And that you can find in Bamidbar Rabbah, Yud Beis Ches. What's going on? Why these three things? So what is Marei Eish? What's the idea of Marei Eish altogether? Marei Eish. I mean, Chazal used that phrase, Marei Eish, but they didn't make it up. Marei Eish comes from a pasuk in the Torah. It's in Bamidbar, Perek Tes, Pesukim Tes Vav and Tezayin. What is Mareish? Mareish Laila and Anan Yomab. What's Mareish? It's Gilui Shechina. Okay, that's Mareish, it means the idea of Shechina. That's what Mareish means. That's the idea of Mareish. The Mishkan is Mishkan itself, Beis Hashem, so you can understand Mareish Shechina. The Shekel is the involvement of the Tzibor in the Mishkan. So it means really it's the Gilui Shechina in Klal Yisrael. What was the Master Shekel used for? It was used originally for the construction of the Mishkan, and then afterwards for the upkeep of the Karbanos. Okay, so that's understandable. And the menorah. So you already have the Mishkan. So what's the menorah? The menorah uniquely is the kli which reflects the idea of the bias of the idea of the, because the Mishkan you could look at as Gilui Shechina Avoda. But the Beis Hashem, as uniquely exemplified from the Kalim, finds that idea in the uniquely in the menorah. See, and again, that's all the time. And with this, I'm mending. Anybody has any questions or comments? I mean, but that's why the Nes Chanukah was dafka the menorah, is because it wasn't a Nes about oil. It wasn't a Nes about. It wasn't even a Nes about avoda really. It's a nes about Gilui Shechina. It's a nes about Shechina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shruya B'Yisrael. That's really what the nes is about. And what exemplifies that idea? Uniquely, what exemplifies that idea is the menorah. That's why Dafka the menorah. It's an amazing thing. It's a house light, and that's why Chazal Kaveh the mitzvah, and it was near Chanukah, was to light a house light. Amazing idea.
What are the three things?
That's what I wanted to say.
Is there an idea of the center light pointing in towards the Kodesh HaKadosh?
Yeah.
So how does that?
That's the idea. Because Gilui Shechina means that man thinks about God. So that's exactly. It's telling you that it's an idea that you should directing your thoughts in a certain way. That's exactly the point.
What are the three things again in terms of Mishkan?
Ma'aresh.
Yeah.
The Ma'aresh was the menorah, the Mishkan as a whole, and the Matzah Shekel.
What do they represent?
So the Mishkan is the Gilui Shechina, is the Vasili Mikdash Veshachanti Veselcham. You see? But that could be, that's because of one of two things. It could be because of Beis Hashem, it could also be because of Avoda. That where Klal Yisrael worships God is by definition Makam HaShechina. You see? So that, and the Matzah Shekel is Klal Yisrael's involvement in the Mishkan. Okay, fine. So what do you need the menorah for? That's really what I was asking. But the answer is the menorah reflects upon the idea of bias. See, that's why I would say like this, that the phrase Beis HaMikdash really contains in it two ideas. It contains Beis and Mikdash. It contains the idea of Beis Oshel Hashem and Mikdash meaning a place of avoda. It's both ideas. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Yep.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yes.
When we're poor and when we don't make it out of gold, so how does it reflect the idea of the snap of the tree?
Because you still have the idea of the anachim. I mean, you could argue the point. I mean, I was thinking about that also. You could argue the point. You could say that it doesn't have the snap. I'm uncomfortable with that. I mean, but I can't prove it one way or the other. You still have the idea of the anafim. It's a bare tree, so to speak. You follow? In other words,
yeah.
The paradigm is the full blossom thing. But when it's so that's the paradigm. The menorah without that is a bare tree. It's relative to the paradigm.
Right, and the halacha still exists when you do
exactly.
That. Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're saying the snaz is logically.
Thorn bush, it's right. Right. Yeah. It's true.
Nothing's filing itself.
They build upon that. And you see, it's not a particular thing because there's no bush that has almonds and flowers. Right.
I didn't want to say, by the way, the others are also bounty, no?
Which? Tikkun and Mikshah? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's correct. I'm sorry. That's right. That's right. We do also want to say that Tikkun and Mikshah is also halacha. Well, you could say that Tikkun and Mikshah is also halacha in bounty. Because Mikshah is a solid, you know, like a solid thing. It's not hollow. Like, that's the opposite of Mikshah is, he says, chalula. The only reason it would be hollow. You know, like, so that's the image of, you know, like, but it's not real. You know, it's not solid gold, you know, like...
The menorah that they made, the Machon and Mikdash, Mishkan people.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it.
They said it's gold nowadays.
Yeah.
If you made it with, according to all the halls, it would be too heavy or something like that, so the arms would bend.
Yeah,
so they said they had to make it out of some other metal, and then they coated it with gold or something like that.
Some
weird thing like that.
So, okay, I'll show you that it must be, you must say... that they're lacking some basic something or other. No, I'll prove to you.
Yeah.
Because the Gemara Menachos says that when Shlomo, when was it Shlomo Menachos making the menorah? That it was Tzoreif 1,000 times, remember? 100 times.
Uh-huh.
They said that he took the gold, because they have to make a kikar.
Yeah.
So they would do it, they made it first, they fashioned it, you know, like,
yeah.
And then they smelt it, then they like burned it, you know, like to get out any, and they did it 100 times to get out every single last impurity that was in there. Left so such that they were left with absolute 100% to the degree possible, pure gold.
Yeah.
Now they made the menorah and stood in the Mikdash for 400 plus years. I mean, like, so somebody's missing something. I mean, yeah. What else? Any other questions? The kikar. What is it, the kikar?
We said that. It has, at least the key card is like a certain significance and amount.
Right.
So we said, why couldn't it be more? Is because you that the kli has to have a particular.
Right. Right. The key card. Right. A key card is a huge amount. Right. So you say, so why not make it at least a key card? But the answer is that in the kalim of the mikdash, there's no room for man's imagination. It has to be a precise thing. So so what's chosen is the idea of the bounty is the idea of a key card. See, if you're going by the exact paradigmatic form that's listed in the Torah, so then it has to be exact. If you're deviating from that paradigm, which you have a right to do, call upon the call to make it out of silver or some other thing, so then you have to follow sort of the basic form. But if it's the paradigmatic form, then it has to be precise. That's why the Torah insisted upon a kikar. But a kikar means the idea of it's the highest, really, weight measurement, you know, single weight measurement that we have. It's like saying, like, in English vernacular, so it would be like, you know, like a ton. I mean, I don't think is there a measurement of weight greater than a ton? That's only if you're Zimmer. Now something can weigh 4,000 pounds, so that's not a new thing. It's 2 tons, you know, like,
were you able to define the
Yeshiva
that says that
Skirber
has a different idea?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I'm not. It's not like I'm saying that this is the only way to learn it. Ramban says that. Who knows what it means?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, like. But Avraham and Rambam, everything he says points to the idea of a plant. I mean, it's like the Anufim. The Anufim is really what clinched this for me because, yeah, I think also Moshe. It's like, you know, like you're looking at it. Says this is a fruit. It's not an egg. It's shaped like an egg, but it's a fruit.
Yeah.
You know, this is a flower, okay, you know, like, this is a cup, but it looks like an almond, you know, like, and these are, the kaneh, you know, these are anafim.
Yeah.
So anafim means, like, tree branches, you know, like, I mean, it doesn't have to be a tree, but, you know, botanical branches. I mean, it's, that's true, we use the word to mean a branch, you know, but once that all, like, it's just pointing to one thing. So then you have to, of course, ask yourself, so what's a plant doing in the mikdash? And then you have to remember the plant's on fire.
Yeah.
Once you remember the plant's on fire, you know, like.
There's something to say about the rhodoglion, like roots.
Yeah, well, it's not in the ground. I mean, you know, like. But anyway. All right, that's what I want to say. Guys, any on the phone? Any questions? Yeah, another question.
I know this is a bit of a sort of time. What is the Malchus idea of bounty?
What is the Malchus? No, it's the Shulchan HaMelech. So the Shulchan HaMelech means that the king himself. That's one of the guys in yeshiva asked before also. The idea of there's a concept of Shulchan HaMelech that the king is the one who is like the richest in the land. The riches in that sense reflects the idea of power, reflects the idea of, you know, like of control. That's an idea unto itself. You know, the table of the king. This is the bounty that God bestows upon us. You follow? Different idea. See?
Just to clarify, I just want to make sure I'm an error of the idea of dwelling versus hashgacha. Like, hashgacha, you're saying, is simply bounty,
right?
Versus what's the other?
Well, you say, I'll read you again. I mean, it's you need to look into this a little bit. I mean, okay. He says, yeah. I'll start a little bit earlier. He says that now dwelling signifies a permanent stay in a place of one's abode. Accordingly, when a living being has his abode in a place by which either generally a particular place may be meant, it is said of him that he dwells in that place, even if he undoubtedly moves within it. This verb is also figuratively applied to things that are not living beings. In fact, to everything that is permanent and is attached to another thing. Of all such things, the term dwelling may be used, even in cases in which the thing to which they are attached is not a place, and they themselves are not living beings. Thus it says, let a cloud dwell upon it. So clouds don't dwell, right? That's, okay. So, for there is no doubt that a cloud is not a living being, nor a day, because let a cloud dwell on the day. That's the pasuk in the Yom. So, nor a day is in any way a body, it being a portion of time. It is on account of this latter figurative sense that the verb is applied figuratively to God, may be exalted. I mean, to the permanence of his indwelling, and he used the Hebrew word Shekhinah, or his providence in whatever place, or his providence in whatever place they may subsist in permanent fashion, or toward whatever matter providence may be permanently directed. It means when God's attention is directed to a certain thing. So, in attention in the form of hashgacha, you know, so then that's an idea of Shekhinah, a permanent dwelling. See?
Okay.
So the idea is, so you have simply the idea of Shekhinah, Beis Hashem,
right.
You know, and then you have also the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses his attention, kavyachol, to Kal Yisrael, in a positive way, so that's a reflection of the idea of God's...
So I'm asking, what is the idea then of Beis Hashem? That's not just the idea of
Shekhinah.
I just don't...
No, that's it. Okay. It is Shekhinah. But Shekhinah can be subdivided into simply... There's nothing simple about this. I mean, you know, but simple presence, existence. And, but, well, you know, in other words, in this place, you can gain ideas about the existence of God, per se, you know. And then there's another idea that you can gain ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence to Klal Yisrael through this place. And you see that, by the way, that's what Shlomo Melch says in that tefillah. He says that all tefillah will come through and be answered through the Mikdash. An amazing thing. I mean, you know, like that. And that's the idea. Basically, tefillah, Yikarei B'chol Amim, everything's really directed, so to speak, towards the Mikdash. It doesn't mean you pray to the Mikdash, but it means it's through knowledge of God from this place. So that's the idea of Hashgacha. Beautiful idea. I mean, that's the menorah. The menorah really is the... That's why I think it's no accident that Klal Yisrael throughout the ages have been... Any, you know, like, symbolism... The hexagram is a Byzantine nonsense, you know? But you do see that even in ancient, the symbol, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael, we don't believe in symbols altogether. But if you had to symbolize, you know, like, it was ubiquitous, the menorah, you know? Why? That's it. The idea of Shekhinah Shri Yisrael. That's the idea of the bias. And it's like an amazing thing. That's why I don't know if that's why, but the official the seal of the State of Israel is really a menorah. I mean, that's a curve. Yeah. I think it's also, I'm not sure, is it 7 or is it 9?
I think it's
7.
I don't know.
Outside the Knesset, that big statue there. Yeah. Yeah, the Zer, yeah.
What's that idea of the
Greek star? That's a separate thing. I mean, but that basically it means that the glory of man is reached through three ideas, through the glory of man of Kedushas Yisrael is reached through the idea of Torah, Avodah,
And there was and the Malchus, and the idea of Klal Yisrael as a nation. So that's really Malchus means the people as an entity. The Avodah means Avodah Hashem, and Torah is Torah.
Why is that being expressed
in the Mikdash? Why is that expressed in the Mikdash? So the basic idea is again that it's the Shechina Shruya be Yisrael, and certain ideas about the other idea of the Mikdash, aside from Beis Hashem, is how we are supposed to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Mizbeach, that's the, right? So, Talmud Torah, Avodah, and then, you know, the Shulchan, I mean, the Malchus is the idea of the nations of Klal Yisrael. We don't exist outside, apart from the idea of nationhood. That's the Shir, you take a look at it, the Shir on Dira Beres Yisrael. I talk about that. It's in the countries. Yeah. Say it again.
The last.
Yeah.
So the mushroom is
the last. Oh, why is it dust or a lamp? That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. Why is he always asking? Why? I mean, I don't know if the premise of your question is that there has to be, you know, as opposed to the fact that the Kisei has its, you know, idea, and it could be process of elimination. I'm just, you know, saying that.
The each of them each have an idea, just be a little bit strange. This one,
right?
Could be the lamp is a sign of dwelling. Like just you see the lights on. Yeah, someone's home. You have images like that, right? That Avraham.
Well, they lit the, what do you mean, to show that,
you saw there was a light lit in the house, so
right.
There must be somebody living here.
Right.
And this is like about
Hashkafa,
you saw.
Right.
In the Bria.
I mean, how I came to know God.
Right.
Yeah.
You saw the near dollar.
Someone's here. Could be. It's a nice idea. I mean, I have to think about it a little bit. But you know what you're saying? The Yaakov's question, you know, why Dafka the menorah is the one clue which exclusively is, you know, the idea of the bias, which is the idea of Shechina. So that's because the idea of a candle lit means someone's home. You know, that's what Daniel mentioned, that the Medrash that Avraham Avinu saw a candle burning in the house, and that he extrapolated from that the idea of the Yesh Borei Labri, you know, Labria. So it means that it signifies the fact that, so to speak, someone's home. There's going to be a chair in the house, whether someone's home or not. There's going to be a table, you know, whether someone's home or not. But the lit candle is, you know, is someone's home.
It's a nice idea.
Why it has to be Tamid? Tamid. Yeah, that's a good point also, right, David said. So that's why it's Lalos near Tamid. It has to be kind of constant. Nice idea.
Is that a chazal about Avraham Avinu?
It was, you know, timers and everything. It's hard to relate to, but yeah, go ahead, what?
Is that a chazal about Avraham Avinu that Daniel was
mentioning? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll find it now. Yeah, you can find it. What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was in Precious Rabbi.
I can find it,
yeah. But it's a Medrash. Yeah.
What's the
Beis HaBechira? Yeah, Beis HaBechira, that's another shiur. Beis HaBechira is really, what's the phrase, why the Rambam uses Beis HaBechira as opposed to Beis HaMikdash? The Rav once gave a whole thing on this, but he says, the Rav goes into this a lot. I once gave a shiur on the whole idea of Mikdash. Really, Kedushas Mikdash is really a halach of Kedushas Makam, as opposed to being confronted to the idea of bias. So that's why, for example, you have Vahashimosius Mikdashechem, the Gemara says that in the Shomimos, it's still Mikdash. You know, which means that's why you're not allowed today, you know, even when it's destroyed, it's still a Mikdash. Oh. So that's why you can't go on Harba, you can't go in Makam HaMikdash today with, you know, Betumah. I mean, it's... So it means that, and it's really, you don't need the bias to be makif karbonos. You just need the mizbeach, you know, like, which is the whole set. That's why there's some hold that on Yadalit Benison, you shouldn't be anywhere. You should make sure that the daf could be 15 mil away from our bias, because theoretically, It's in our control. If we wanted to, we could.
Do we know where the exact spot is?
Oh, so that's another good. Okay, so do we know where the spot is? I mean, good question. There are people who think that they do. You know, like
they have to be 15.
So, no, which itself is a big controversy because most people think that the Eben HaShisiyah is the rock at the which is in the center of you know their mosque, but. Well, it's functionally a mosque. It wasn't built as a mosque, but it's functionally a mosque. It is a, you know, like, halakhically it's a, you know, it's a mosque. But this guy Resnick, so that's first name. You can get, he's a rabbi, he's a Muslim, a fun guy. He's also an archaeologist, and he wrote a book called The Holy Temple Revisited. I got it myself from Amazon like last year. Great work. He makes very compelling cases for various things with regard to the location of things on the bias and you know like talks a little about the Bar Kokhba. And he's from no heretical nonsense. I mean he's from Anderson, heretical nonsense. it's very good. So he makes the case, and to me, it's pretty compelling. You know, like the Eben HaShisiyah is not that rock at all. It's further down, and it's a place that the Muslims, thank God, you know, just ignore. You know, like take a look at it. I mean, it's
there is a big rock in the middle of the thing, right?
Of the dome.
Yeah.
On the bottom, the floor.
Big boulder.
Yeah.
There, right?
Yeah, but so what? It's, I mean, it's a
no.
Mountain,
I'm just that's
you know,
actually
like,
really funny.
With a footprint in it, also. Yeah. That's what they say. Mahomet's footprint. From there, he jumped up to.
They see a footprint.
Somebody carved in a footprint. What was Mahomet is 5'10". You know.
What's his name,
yeah. Oh, so the whole idea in the Torah is the idea that kedusha was b'makom asher yivchar again and again and again. So it was the bechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That gives it its significance, which means that's the simple answer. Beis HaBechira means that its entire status emanates from the Bechira. That's it.
What's the
Kula? What do you mean? Bechira is the gerund noun form of Livchor, so it's the house of the choosing. You see? So, but there's a great philosophical implication from it, and namely that the kedusha, and this is clearly the Rambam Shita, kedusha is not ingrained in the molecules of the, you know, it only emanates from the fact that God designated this as a place to be used for worship. You follow what I'm saying? It's not that it's inherent in the soil over here. There's molecules of kedusha. That's the famous issue. That's the Kalman's book, you know, like one of his primary examples. He's right. I mean, you know. What else? Any other questions? Yeah.
And last time he expected that.
Yeah.
He really getting the whole chapter as cleaning the tula.
Right.
What's the food spell about cleaning
the verb?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's like. Very often. I mean, like, if you give me enough time, I'll come up with like a number of examples. Very often, the vav doesn't mean, and I'm going to introduce to you a new idea now. Very often, the vav is, you know, like, in fact, you should know that there's an Ibn Ezra that talks about this idea of vav, you know, like, but it's not that it's connecting a new idea to another, you know, to an older idea, but, you know, here's the primary idea, and here's how it lays out, you know, like, You can't be machria, you know, because we showed him the Torah, I think. The Rambam learns, it's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Rishalmi. The Rambam learns like the Bavli on the Pasuk of Yom Simchaschem of Mardechem of Rashi Chachem, the Gomer, Uskatim Bachatzosos, etc. So the Rishalmi says of Yom Simchaschem refers to Shabbos, of Mardechem is Yom Tovim. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. You have to blow the chatzos. According to Yushalmi, you have to blow chatzos on every Shabbos. The Yushalmi, the Bavli disagrees. Bavli holds no. So that it's only on Moed and Rosh Chodesh. No Shabbos. Which is why you have the famous issue with regard to, is there a mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos or is there no mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos? If you say that there is such a thing as Simcha on Shabbos, where's the Simcha on Shabbos? So the answer is, there's only one place in the Torah that there might be an issue of Simcha on Shabbos. That's this Pasuk. But that's the Yerushalmi, not the Bavli. There are those who want to say that that's Yisma, you know, that Yismachul Malchuscha, you know, it comes from that idea. But the only thing is, we don't pass them like that, so it's a little bit difficult. Okay, fine. So, but the question is, how did the Bavli learn the Pasuk? You see? So, because why? Because, what is it? So what's the Yosef Chasson according to Bavli? So the answer is that that's the category. Uviyom Suchaschem is the category. What's colon? What's the category? Moed and Rosh Chodesh. There is, by the way, a Simcha, there's an element of Simcha and Rosh Chodesh. So you have in Yalav Yavo, at least according to the gifts of the Rambam. So there is, and there's an idea, not as Chiv Simcha, like Basav Yayin, the other way, but there is an idea of Simcha and Rosh Chodesh. So then how do you learn the Pasuk? Uviyom Suchaschem. What's the uvim aladechem? It's not, you know, like, so the answer is, we have some chasm colon, and here's what I mean. You know, like, that's the style. I mean, you know, like, he's saying, why doesn't he just leave it? Because he's just, it's in the Torah, it's in the Torah anyway.
Can't you not know from the Torah? Four
Kaftarah,
four
Gezeiros. That's true. Like that? That's true.
It's a number.
Because it's right. It says there are four, he's right. I mean, there are four Gezeiros. Four Gezeiros in the center thing. But so, they could all be four on top. You know, it's not, that is Torah. That is Tashua Pes, so to speak. That's, you know, the Tzurah, you know, that there was shown to Marayesh. Because it's correct. You're right about that. I mean, it's,
Mefurosh,
right. There you have that.
Mefurosh is fundamental, but the element of it.
Right. The elements. The elements of Mefurosh. But how it lays out, you know, it's, yeah. So there you don't see. All right, guys.